So, Comma Chameleon, Kamala Harris, that's what we're calling her. Thank you again, Mike. And she's going to lose so bad because she's going to be too busy trying to take Joe Biden's job while he, sits there not knowing where he is. So, bring it on. I've got Mike Pence. He's tougher. He's the toughest lady I know.
If I listen to your lies, would you say I'm a man without conviction? I'm a man who doesn't know how to sell a contradiction.
Kamala Harris. After it was announced that she would be Biden's running mate, many people were celebrating the historic milestone of having a black and South Asian woman on a major party ticket. Although, as you might expect, President Trump had a slightly different take.
Reaction was quick at the White House, where President Trump used his daily coronavirus briefing to bash Biden's choice.
She was extraordinarily nasty to Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh then, now Justice Kavanaugh. I thought she was the meanest, the most horrible, most disrespectful of anybody in the U.S. Senate.
Despite claiming he wanted Biden to pick Harris, President Trump says he's surprised Biden actually did after that heated primary debate.
She was probably nastier than even Pocahontas to Joe Biden. She was very disrespectful to Joe Biden. She said things during the debates, during the Democrat primary debates, that were horrible about Sleepy Joe, and I would think that he wouldn't have picked.
Yeah, she was so horrible to Sleepy Joe, and that loser deserves so much more respect than that.
Like, is Trump attacking or defending Joe Biden? I can't tell. I thought this election would be Trump versus Joe Biden. Now I think we could just lock Trump in a room and let him hash it out by himself.
What did me say to me? Me heard me.
I mean, of all people, Donald Trump should totally understand how you can be with a woman who's publicly humiliated you. He also shouldn't be surprised that past enemies can become your friends. I mean, look who he's been working with. Ted Cruz, who called him a pathological liar and a narcissist. Lindsey Graham, who said he was a bigot and a nut job who was destroying the Republican Party. Marco Rubio, who called him a con artist and said he had a small d***. And of course, Jared Kushner, who selfishly married the love of Trump's life. That's right, man. We ain't never gonna forget. If anything, Kamala Harris on the ticket with Joe Biden is a genius move by the former VP. Because not only does she tick a bunch of boxes, but clearly conservatives are gonna struggle to put her in one.
Joe Biden is running on the most radical platform of any candidate from any major party in U.S. history. Now with the most radical running mate ever.
She doesn't really have core beliefs.
Her record as attorney general is absolutely abysmal by fighting to keep inmates locked up in overcrowded prisons.
As a prosecutor in San Francisco, she allowed, scores of violent criminals to walk free.
Did you know that Kamala Harris has a higher rating from the police association in 2019 than from the ACLU?
She is soft on crime. She is no friend of the police.
Harris clearly wasn't picked for her personal charm.
She's very telegenic. I get that. The media will say she's very hip.
I think that the pick was somewhat surprising.
I think it was a kind of a boring pick. I think everybody was expecting Biden to pick Kamala.
Joe Biden has picked Kamala Harris. But who is Kamala Harris? She hates the police, except for the times that she loves the police. She's also soft on drug crime, but is too tough on drug crime sometimes. She's black, but also Indian. Is that even allowed? Kamala Harris. We haven't decided why she's bad yet, but we already paid for this ad.
I'm Donald Trump, and I'm confused by this message.
I usually don't get into politics, but the president's senior advisor, Jenna Ellis, just said Kamala Harris sounds like me. Lisa says she doesn't mean it as a compliment. If that's so, as an ordinary suburban housewife, I'm starting to feel a little disrespected. I teach my children not to name call Jenna. I was going to say I'm pissed off, but I'm afraid they bleep it.
Yes, it's a tough day for us, okay? My brother Richard Trump, one of the great Trumps, not as good as me, but, you know, he's one of the top sort of, I put him in as a top tier sort of Trump. He's very sick, and I'm going to visit him at some point. I'm at the golf course now. But in mourning, in anticipation of a very sad thing, which we hope doesn't happen, but, you know, I am sort of at the top of his beneficiaries in his will. So if he goes, you know, as the great Russian Drago once said, if he dies, he dies. You know, so, you know, he had a good life, and I'm going to get most of his wealth. So there's a lot of, you know, there's bad, but there's also good. It is what it is. But, you know, in mourning, because we're anticipating sort of mourning, you know, which is death. It is mourning, but it's all so-called strong death. I have asked for black caddies on the golf course today because, you know, I don't want to put anything black on my great white MAGA golf hat or my great white polo shirt. But, you know, black is sort of what people do when they're sad. You know, I've been told when they're sad, people do things with blacks. And I said, okay, well, we'll have a black caddy. I usually don't do that. But in honor of my great brother, Richard, Robert Trump. Robert. Well, it's close. You know, Robert Trump, also a strong brother of mine. We're going to golf very strongly today in his honor. And then if there's time, I'm going to go stop by the hospital. And hopefully we get great inheritance. And, you know, I don't know why people are asking. Yes, my press secretary said I have a great relationship with my brother. You know, usually when people have great relationships with their family members, you don't. It's kind of assumed. It's something people do. They make an assumption. But I'm so strong and tough, you can't assume that I like my family members. So that's why I had Kaylee McDonald at a farm. And she's also a great press secretary. So we had her say that I have a good relationship with my brother. Very true. So we hope he has great life, but great inheritance.
House Democrats announced yesterday that they'll be returning from recess early to address the crisis at the post office after it was reported that mail sorting machines across the country were being removed and the Postal Service had warned 46 states that voters could be disenfranchised due to the changes. And if you're wondering if it's just coincidental that the post office is being dismantled as the country nears an election that will depend in large part on mail-in voting, one, congrats on waking up from your coma, and two, here's Trump admitting it last week.
They want $25 billion, billion, for the post office. Now, they need that money in order to have the post office work so it can take all of these millions and millions of ballots. But if they don't get those two items, that means you can't have universal mail-in voting.
Once again, he just confesses, just like he did with Russian hacking and the Ukraine quid pro quo. He confesses like he has James Bond strapped to a table. You're probably wondering how I'm going to steal the election. Well, I'll tell you every detail, Mr. Bond, and then I'll turn the laser on and leave the room. The entire Trump presidency has been like an episode of Law & Order where the killer confesses in the first 5 minutes, and then they turn it over to a cable news panel to discuss. I mean, sure, he said he killed him and where he buried the body, and when they dug up the body, it did have traces of his DNA. But can we really take him at his word? Or are we maybe overreacting? Now, as we and many others have stated millions of times, there is zero evidence of widespread fraud in mail-in voting. Even Trump's own Voting Integrity Commission couldn't find any evidence of voter fraud. In fact, if anything, mail-in voting is especially secure because you have the physical evidence. If you suspect fraud, you just look at the name and signature on the ballot and make sure it's a legal vote. And yet on Sunday, Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, kept repeating the lie that mail-in voting could somehow lead to fraud.
But you don't call up and say, hey,
no,
by the way,
there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud, though.
There's no evidence that there's not either. That's the definition of fraud, Jake.
That's not how evidence works. You can't arrest someone for possession of cocaine because they can't prove they don't have any cocaine.
So there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud, but there's also no evidence that there isn't widespread voter fraud. I mean, once you go into that argument, there's nothing you can't claim anymore.
People have all sorts of theories about why Trump is attacking the post office. One of those is that he wants to slow mail down so that ballots don't arrive in time to be counted. But another theory is that he just wants Democrats to think that the mail is going to slow down so that they don't trust the mail and they don't send their ballots at all.
So in many ways, what we're seeing is not new. It's been a goal of the conservative movement for years. They want to turn one of America's most cherished public institutions into a chain restaurant where you can buy a pack of stamps and unlimited breadsticks. Privatizing the post office is like turning your local fire station into the cable company. My house is on fire! We'll be there between 9 and 1. Make sure someone is home! And yet, as an election approaches in which the incumbent president just happens to be trailing badly in the polls, conservatives are suddenly concerned that the post office loses money. Former Fox Business host Trish Regan captured this sentiment yesterday when she tweeted, "Here's the deal on the United States Postal Service. It's just a bad business. Poorly run, loses billions. If it were any other business, it would have gone under by now. We need to make it more accountable, not keep throwing money at it." Yeah, but it's not a business. So telling that you ghouls never say stuff like this about ICE or the police. The Pentagon's had more flops than Johnny Depp, but you guys still love to throw money at it. Also, as we explained last week, the post office was actually profitable until Republicans passed a law in 2006 requiring it to pre-fund 75 years of retiree health benefits in 10 years. And without that law, the post office would have remained profitable.
It operated at a loss in the first couple of years of the 21st century, but by 2003, it was back to operating at a profit. In fact, from 2003 through 2006, USPS recorded a total $9.3 billion profit. If not for the 75-year pension and healthcare obligation, the USPS would have reported operating profits for the last 6 years.
So the same Republicans who are now complaining that the post office loses money are the ones responsible for the post office losing money. It's like if your boss at Krispy Kreme said, "Why is no one coming to the store?" And you said, "You made us put up that sign that said we stick our in all the crawlers." And now the privatizers have joined forces with a president who's desperate to subvert an election he knows he can't win fairly, which is why he's installed a postmaster general, Louis DeJoy, with tens of millions of dollars worth of conflicts, who donated $360,000 to Trump and the RNC, which is unprecedented. The post office is supposed to be nonpartisan. DeJoy has been gutting the post office just as states prepare for a surge in mail-in ballots thanks to the deadly plague Trump failed to stop. He slowed mail delivery, slashed hours at post offices, removed mail sorting machines across the country, and told 46 states their voters could be disenfranchised by delayed mail-in ballots. And by the way, it's not a matter of whether the Postal Service can handle the volume. Even if every single one of the 150 million registered voters mailed in a ballot, that would be nothing compared to the post office's usual load. The Postal Service processes nearly 500 million pieces of mail every day, and it annually handles more than 3 billion pieces in the week before Christmas alone. What we're witnessing right now is a marriage of Postal Service privatizers and an anti-majoritarian political movement intent on undermining democracy in order to impose its will on everyone else. They know they can't win fairly, so they'll do anything to cheat, including dismantling one of our most cherished public institutions because
they have no mercy.
Good evening, everyone. A lot of people have asked me, when others are going so low, does going high still really work? My answer, going high is the only thing that works. If you think things cannot possibly get worse, trust me, they can and they will if we don't make a change in this election.
That was a short walk from hope and change to duck and cover.
I know Joe. He is a profoundly decent man guided by faith. He was a terrific vice president. He knows what it takes to rescue an economy, beat back a pandemic, and lead our country. And he listens.
As opposed to Trump, who knows how to beat back an economy, ignore a pandemic, divide our country, and he glistens.
He will tell the truth and trust science.
Wow. 4 years of Trump has really lowered the bar for president. I support Joe Biden. He believes the Earth orbits the sun and he won't stab you.
We have got to do everything we can to elect my friend Joe Biden as the next president of the United States. Thank you all. God bless.
So your president is very powerfully getting ready for bed. It's just me and my comfortable sheets and the great Trump bear available at the Trump store online. And I just watched the Democratic anti-American convention night one, and it was a total disgrace, as you could expect. You know, we start off with Eva Longoria, who, well, to be honest, she looked pretty hot. But after her, it was a total mess. You had angry Andrew Cuomo, okay? just sitting there with his lack of charisma, talking very angrily. And then you had Mary Lou Rotten, that's what I call Klobuchar, who had a horrible campaign. And she's got some of the worst jokes I've ever heard, let's be honest. Then you had John Kasich, fake Republican, in the middle of a field. They should have left him there. And then we have Crazy Bernie. Okay, Crazy Bernie just talking crazy in a bunch of logs. I thought he was going to start chopping wood like Rocky IV, except he's, you know, too old to do that. And then you had Michelle Obama, and I got to say, she stole my line. She stole. Everybody accused my wife, Melanoma, of stealing her speech. Is the fake news going to accuse? It is what it is my line. That is my line. And she used it to talk about me. I used it to talk about dead people. Okay, I see dead people. I feel like the kid in The Sixth Sense right now getting ready for bed. You know, I see Trump speeches getting stolen. How about that? And she used it against me, and nobody's going to call her out. But I'm calling you out, Michelle Obama. You stole my line. Total failure on night one, a total disgrace. Sleepy Joe's got, well, Sleepy Joe, he's probably on an Amtrak right now. They, you know, they get an Amtrak video, okay, which is losing money, by the way. And total failure on night one. And Bruce Springsteen, you know, doing the music for this, it was almost as boring as his Broadway show, which was not good, okay? Not the boss. I'm the boss. You're not the boss. Good night.
If stupid people aren't elected next year, we're going to have one of the greatest years that we've ever had.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Thanks this week for the
song from Randy Rainbow Culture
and
Golden Earring.
And thanks also to
Rod Serling, Rudy Giuliani, Cartman, Richard Nixon, Joe Biden, Mike Pence, J.L. Corvin, Trevor Noah, Sean Hannity, Greg Gutfeld, Tucker Carlson, Marge Simpson, Seth Myers, Meadows, Jake Tapper,
Michelle
Obama, Stephen Colbert.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
So this is your president, okay, talking to you after night three of the Democratic Anti-American Convention. And technically, as I record this, the convention isn't even over. But I'm not watching Koala Bear Harris accept sort of a fake vice presidency. I wasn't enjoying the show. It's sort of a weak show, but I wasn't enjoying it to begin with. There was a lot of talk about guns, and they're trying to take away our Second Amendment, our great Second Amendment. But don't worry, next week we're going to have Don Jr. shoot endangered animals just for fun, just to prove, with an AR-15, just to prove how strong we are on Second Amendment. But I'm not feeling good because there was a whole lot of nasty talk. Crooked Hillary spoke. They don't even like her anymore. She didn't even get 10 o'clock. Pocahontas spoke at some school where the blocks spell Black Lives Matter. Okay, so it's obviously some sort of 1619 Project elementary school, so we hate that. And now I guess Koala Bear Harris is talking. I'm not listening to her. But Obama. Nope, I'm gonna be strong, Trump Bear, available, by the way, at thetrumpstore.com. I'm going to be... You're crying. Your feelings are hurt, not mine. My feelings are very strong. Mike, you'll give me a hug later. This was tough. Okay, be strong. This isn't... No reason to be sad. Just think about how not sad you were when your own brother died a couple of days ago. Just get some of that strength. Okay, I'm back. What Obama said was a disgrace and very nasty. I'm, you know, the least racist person. I'm so prepared for the job. I'm working almost 40 hours a week, okay? Not including the golf time that I've had to cut in half. But not racist, but I wouldn't expect anything else from a nasty black president. So, total failure, a disgrace. Well, now that you've seen how terrible the Democrats are, wasn't that a sad, angry, very angry sort of display by them? We're going to do it right. That's our turn, and it's going to be the best convention I think you've ever seen. First off, it's being directed, okay, by Dinesh D'Souza, a great talent, known as the Steven Spielberg of getting 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. So a lot of talent there. And first night up, okay, our first night is called QAnon White Power Night. And it'll start with an opening prayer from the great actor John Voigt. And then we get right into the great substance, okay? Sheriff David Clark, Angry Hootie as I call him, will take his own life on stage just to prove how anti-Black Lives Matter he is. And the great African thought person leader that we have, Candace Owens, is going to renounce her African-Americanness. And then to end the night, we're going to play a bunch of QAnon theories. And Nicholas Sandman, remember him? The poor kid who was smiling at the Native American old guy who wasn't so nice. He's going to do Snow Angels, but with the money he won from lawsuits. Night two is a tribute to Jeff Epstein, okay? We're going to have Ted Nugent and James Woods reenact on stage some of Jeff Epstein's favorite party moments. Okay, we don't forget those, our fallen heroes. We don't forget them. Night three, following the Jeff Epstein night, will be patriotic prayer, because we're such great faith people. And Jerry Falwell Jr. will come out, and the demon sperm lady leading us in great prayer. Mike Pence will be, you'll be there, won't you? Maybe you can go to Jerry Falwell Jr.'s party if you like. And then night four is the great night. It's called President for Life. That's the theme of night four. And I'll be introduced by Scott Baio and Anthony Sabato Jr., two talents. And then keynote speeches by Xi and Putin. And I will announce that I will be president for life and Ivanka will be my heir. And hopefully that turns around. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, for some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Hello. This is your Midnight Marauder program. I'm on the front of your cover. I will be enhancing your cassettes and CDs with certain facts that you may find beneficial. The average bounce meter for your Midnight Marauder program will be in the area of 95 BPM. We hope that you will find our presentation precise, bass heavy, and just right. Thanks.
You are listening to the WGXC Acre 90.7 on your FM dial and WGXC.org on your smartphone or computer.
Tune in WGXC's new Sunday morning schedule with the Reverend Kim Singletary and There's a Bright Side Somewhere every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. That's followed by the teens from Hudson talking about books they've read on Bound by Books. After the local news at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., there's more teens. The Catskill Kids from Clubhouse Radio are on at 10 a.m. with lots of music and talk on your community radio station, WGXC.org, 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sarah and Sam of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about this story. Melissa Schumann reports for the Troy Record that a citizen went to the Troy Police Office August 21st to file a complaint and left without a form to complain, but covered in bruises and with his arm in a sling. At a protest later in the day about his abuse by police, someone ran a car into the group of protesters and was charged with reckless endangerment. Kenneth Zioli is the Director of Recovery Services for the Coalition of Barker Park and the Outreach Director for Recovery Services for Equality for Troy. He went to the police department to fill out a form complaining about the removal of chairs from the park. He claims he was refused the form and that Sergeant Sean Kittle then grabbed him by an arm and threw him down a flight of stairs. He says he was put into a cell for 3 hours and refused medical help when he had an anxiety-induced seizure. Deputy Police Chief Daniel DeWolf said, quote, "The city recently removed benches from the park in an effort to curb congregating due to the pandemic and unlawful activity. I'm advised that he, Zioli, was asked a number of times to leave the police station and refused. He was then arrested for trespass and unlawful possession of marijuana," unquote. Later in the day, protesters gathered in Barker Park. Robert Spinelli drove a car into the crowd and hit two people. Police arrested Spinelli for reckless endangerment. He was also carrying a loaded firearm. Quote, "Something smashed into my windshield," unquote, Spinelli told CBS 6. Quote, "I had several yelling, screaming in my face. The police officers at that time decided to get me away from the scene," unquote. This has been Tom Rowe for WGXC. Go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for many more stories about local issues.
I'm sorry, what's your name
again?
My
name is Kenneth Zioli. I was the individual who faced police brutality today by the Troy Police Department.
Can you tell me what happened?
I entered the Troy Police Department's main lobby and requested a formal complaint form by the Sergeant Kittle of the Troy Police Department. He ignored us for approximately 20 minutes, then came out of the side door of the Troy Police Department, and then he then said, I need to leave or I'll be arrested. He then snatched me and brought me into the back, threw me down a flight of stairs into a wall, continued to manhandle me, threw my head into a wall. I continued to state, I'm not resisting, I'm not resisting, I'm not resisting. He then told me I was a scumbag piece of shit. I then was put into an isolation cell, left by myself with no supervision, stated that I need medical attention, and then had a seizure in regards to not having medical attention. Because of this, I may have a brain injury, a head injury, but I do know that I have a broken collarbone possibly. I'm going to be getting a medical attention with that. I'm happy with the support that has arrived at the Troy Police Department. I'm grateful for this. I feel that the fascist system that we live in needs to be corrected, and I feel that this officer needs to be punished correctly by administrative and legal processes.
Were there any other officers present besides Officer Kittle?
Yes, Officer Kittle and another sergeant, which I was not able to receive his name, and an evidence technician who's of colored descent, and he has glasses. I asked for his name. He refused to give it to me, but they also witnessed the officer attack me, throw me into a wall, throw me down the stairs as I requested help and screamed help, please help me, and they watched him do it.
So you were requesting a public complaint form. What did they say they were charging you with?
They first told me that I was being charged with obstruction of justice or disorderly conduct. So first it was obstruction of a governmental administrator. Second, which that charge wasn't filed. Then they said disorderly conduct, which that charge wasn't filed. I was formally charged with trespassing of a public building, which is the Troy Police Department, and criminal possession of unlawful possession of marijuana, which I have a medical marijuana card in New York State to possess a dab cartridge in New York State, which I was possessing. There's no doubt about that. But I'm a medical marijuana patient, so I was illegally charged with that as well.
And then how did they end up letting you go? Did they just release you?
I was arraigned via video conference with Judge Meyer of the Troy City Court, Jessica of the Public Defender's Office, and Assistant District Attorney Saxton. Of the assistant of the Rensselaer County District Attorney's Office. I was given a securing order, which stated that I was released on my own recognizance, and I need to check in with my probation officer, because I am currently on probation.
One second, I just want to check the levels. And did you tell the judge what happened?
I was told not to speak by the officer, by the sergeant. I also was refused phone calls. I asked multiple times to use the phone to call my attorney, to contact my attorney, and I was refused.
Let's step onto the sidewalk here. When Officer Kittle arrested
Sergeant
you,
Kittle.
Sergeant Kittle arrested you, did he read you your Miranda rights?
No, he did not.
Were you read your rights at any point in time during the arrest?
No.
And have you received medical attention since?
No, I requested multiple times by the Troy Police Department to have me medically assisted and to have medical assistance after my seizure, before the feeling of my seizure as well, and they did not. I asked for medical assistance in regards to my shoulder and my knee, and they did not give it to me.
Can I ask, Kenneth, what were you requesting a complaint form for?
Approximately on Friday last week, Sergeant Kittle stated to me that what I've been working as an outreach coordinator for Barker Park under Equality for Troy, and I was told that he don't give a fuck about my First Amendment rights, was his exact words, and I quote, that I wanted to file a complaint about that. If there's an officer that doesn't care about my rights, then what are you? You're just an individual with a badge who feels that you're an authority figure. And that's not right. So he needs to be brought up on that. He needs to be recommended for a review. He needs to be punished by administrators and obviously the legal system for his actions. And that's what a formal complaint is for, is to inform higher-ups of their actions.
And that happened at the Barker Park protest on Wednesday?
This happened on Friday of last week when I was here, and I have video of that as well I can send you.
This is a public building. We are citizens. You guys are here to protect and to serve us as the citizens of Troy. Anybody can come in there and ask for a complaint form. He told me it was up to the discretion of the police department whether they can give out. Yeah, you're going to hear that on the line. It was up to their discretion whether they want to hand out police forms or not. And then he tried to say that, when a person get arrested and then they get out and they say, oh, I want to make a complaint form. No, that's not how it works, because then they have to go through the system first before they're allowed to make a complaint. And in Kenny's instance, he was not arrested at that point in time. So he had, under his constitutional right and within his scope, to ask for that complaint. So then once he knew I knew my shit, he goes to, the internal, because I myself put in a complaint about a year ago where I was assaulted by Officer Jones and Officer Belvina. And I put in a complaint for him over a year ago. Still haven't gotten a call back to this day. Now that internal affairs officer who took my complaint is no longer with this police department. So I said, who's inside of his position temporarily until that position gets filled? He basically told me no one. So even if we do file a complaint, it won't even get taken a look at.
Right.
Which should not be being practiced in there, period. Because we have the right to complain. And we don't have to tell you what we're complaining about. The fact of the matter is, the procedure is that they're supposed to take the complaint, log it in to their ticket system, and they give a yellow ticket. They're not supposed to tell you, oh, don't write this or dictate what goes in the report or what doesn't. But this is something that Troy PD has done for decades. And then he goes on to say, oh, I can retire tomorrow if I want to, but I love this job. And I said, the only thing it took was just a little bit of de-escalation training Death Sergeant Kittle to say to him, hey, Ken, I will contact someone in Fraternal Affairs, give him a number, and this is the correct protocol, or let him know one of the forms is located on the website. Then, of course, he threw Pat Madden under the bridge saying that he did not send a memorandum or update the policies and procedures to reflect the executive order of Governor Cuomo. When that's a lie. Everyone in New York State knew that executive order came down. I mean, even if you don't watch the news or read a newspaper, it was huge. So then he goes on to ask, well, did you take part of that? I said, yep, everyone in this station. Do you plan on, yep, Officer Jones. So the fact of the matter is, they're trying to silence us and they're trying to do retaliatory acts because of the good work that we're doing in the park. And I want to reiterate that I came in a week and a half and got services, clean needle exchanges, a soup kitchen. People are donating food and clothes for the people and the residents of Barker Park. But it just doesn't stop there, because we also have Tent City and Prospect Park, where they go over at night and homeless assault, meaning they want to kick them out the spot at night, and they assault homeless people, elderly women, on a regular basis, instead of just taking a little bit of time and effort and the footwork to come out here and do the good God's work. And I think, you know, they're pissed off because we made them look stupid.
Did they give any reason as to why Sergeant Kittle wouldn't acknowledge Ken or give him any explanation as to what the department's regulations are, even if they're out of what
no.
the state would be?
No, they didn't. He is a very smug, cocky person, and you will see that throughout this whole police department. They have gotten away with so much that they just feel untouchable in Detroit, New York. When I was assaulted by 7
lost. If you don't see what's going on, turn off Facebook.
Jamal says don't shoot a lot. Shoot 1 minute things at a time.
Also, I enacted a kitchen. A soup kitchen that will be opening Monday to feed the people, not only in Barker Park, because people forget, we also have homeless people that live in tents in Tent City. We also got homeless people that live in tents in Boston Park. And whenever they feel like they have, they want to, they go over there and they harass those residents.
Keep ringing that little doorbell, someone's gonna answer. I'm asking for this complaint form and then we gotta go on our way.
Story is our friend Kenny, who is a local activist around here, went in to get a formal complaint form in the lobby of the police station. And after being ignored for 20 minutes, they threatened to arrest him for trespassing and then proceeded to arrest him on public property in this public lobby. He had a seizure while in custody and was not given any medical treatment. Cuts on his chest, bruises on his legs. Now he's in the hospital getting the treatment that he needs. He was released. However, we still want a form. We need a form. The piece of paper. It could have been that easy. That's all I got to say.
Oh, this guy with the white thing?
Yeah. So he's been bringing chairs to Barker Park. He's experienced some aggression from police along with some of the other activists over at Barker Park. I guess today is when the police finally were like, all right, we're arresting you for trespassing. Well, I mean, it's a public place, but they arrested him for trespassing. When he came back out, he ended up having like bruises all over his body. He had his shirt off. He had a seizure and they ended up taking him up to a Samaritan hospital. So that's why people are here protesting. And still just asking for a complaint form. The guy was a victim of police brutality. Right here in Troy, New York.
Oh, is that a policeman talking?
No, I need three for my three complaints. Oh,
excuse me, excuse me. I saw you.
Just the three top ones.
My brain.
Hi. How about this?
More of the same.
Everybody, how many people we got? We need 100 fucking forms.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
A complaint form. So please, a complaint form out for 1, 2, 3. Bring out 50 complaint forms. Bring out 50 complaint forms so that every individual can fill out a complaint form against Troy Police Department. That's why we're out here, in case you were confused. So, anyone that was willing to risk arrest, as y'all had already signed, line up.
All right. We're West.
Again.
Here, what you can do is just tell people to give you the material or to come on. Have somebody come live. Just play this raw footage live.
Can you get us a
See, the thing is, they don't want us to shoot. They said they don't want the media there. I don't think I'm going to shoot this.
Well, don't come outside empty-handed. Bring me the forms right now. What is it you're asking for?
A complaint form.
I would like a complaint form. Any of the officers inside, I would like a form. Hello? I know y'all can hear me. I'm a black angry woman. Get the fuck out of here.
Jager.
Y'all don't beat those forms up.
Wait,
whoop
wait,
that
wait, hold on. What do I want it? Now!
Yeah,
fucking good. Open the fucking door!
Switch it up.
You're a public servant, and you are not accessible to the public. That should be illegal.
Switch her out now.
Okay.
Yeah, let's not yet. Switch her out.
Let's see if somebody else will do it. Oh. One person is asking
for complaints.
You got
a
complaint form! Honestly, I say we break this goddamn door because we pay for it anyway. Break that motherfucking
door. We want the force! We want the force!
Wait, back up.
We're asking for a complaint form!
One at a time. I hear you.
Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes? Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
one speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
One.